This is the Icon Podcast, a community of trained readers reflecting Jesus with Michael Burns and Jason Alexander. I'm your host, Shiana Hearn. And Michael's doing some weird dancing as I do the intro, so I'm not sure what's happening. Michael, what is going
on? It's always my goal to try to get you to bust up when you're doing the intro. And I most often fail because you're a professional, Gianna. But I do my best.
I try. You know, we literally were just leaving a Mexican food restaurant. And I thought I was going to have to do this podcast in there. And Reggie's with me. And so is Zariah. It's her 1.5 year anniversary birthday.
Anniversary of her life.
They call those birthdays, yeah.
Yeah, there is a term for that.
So, Reggie has been trying to throw me off my game this whole time. Like, he's cracking me up before I got on. I was like, Reggie, I need to focus. I need to say this intro and I need to say hello. So let me do that.
Yes.
So you wouldn't be the first person trying to trip me up. That's my husband 24/7 all day long.
Cause you are joining us remotely. You are in a car.
I am.
All right.
But I'm almost home. So we will be stationary very shortly. All of our listeners know that we do this by the, what is it? Seat of our pants.
Yeah. Skin of our teeth, the seat of our pants, and whatever other, yes. We make this all up as we go. It's like an improv show.
It is. You know what's funny is improv is one of my favorite things to do, as is it for Reggie. So that's probably why I decided to join this podcast. I was like, I can do this one. I can do it.
It's fulfilling, like, your lifelong dream to be part of an improv cast.
It's getting there.
Okay.
Jason, have you done improv?
No. I kind of feel like the ministry's improv, kind of faking it, but no.
You know, that is still one of my favorite memories. Is I was standing in a ministry conference and a very well-known, well-respected Bible teacher turned to me out of the blue and said, when do you suppose everyone's going to figure out that ministry is all smoke and mirrors and none of us actually know what we're doing?
Right. Yep.
We're just trying our best to let God use us.
Mm-hmm.
But Gianna, I don't know if you knew this, Jason and I got to hang out yesterday in person because I was in Pasadena for a conference and Jason drove over from Palm Springs and we had supper last night and hung out in the LA metro area. And I just flew back today and got off my plane and came right here to record this episode.
Once again, you guys met up without inviting me and this is becoming a trend.
I'm not sure that's true, because the last time we did invite you guys, you just forgot.
Okay. We were unavailable.
I think I actually mentioned like a month ago, I was going to be in LA and you were like, yeah, we're not close to LA. And so I didn't bring it up again.
Okay. You're right. You guys do tell me, so I'll give you that one.
So, but anytime I'm like west of the Rockies from now on, I will duly inform you and send you reminders.
We appreciate that here in the Hearn household because we would like to see you guys.
Yeah, we're planning to come through Vegas at some point or Nevada, wherever the heck you are in Nevada at any given moment.
Yes. Sorry, I am cracking up because we're, like we said, driving home. And school is out at this particular moment. And there was a little boy on the side of the road laid out reading a book. Just reading a book. And so Reggie pointed and I saw the same thing. And I was wondering if that was odd to him. So I'm sure that young boy is very studious.
So here's a callback. There were children strewn in the streets.
I said strewn across the land. And that reminded us. So.
Yeah, this goes back to when we were in Africa together and we made Gianna do a fake news report on the spot just to hear her reporter voice, and she was making up things and talking about children strewn across the road or the land or whatever. And
jeez,
right,
it's not good.
Sounded rather grisly. But this is the kind of high quality podcasting you get here at the Icon Podcast. This is what we do.
Icon Podcast of iHeartRadio, right?
I'm not sure we're getting any sponsors like that.
Professional outfit here.
It's funny you bring up sponsors today, Gianna, because that's kind of what we're going to talk about.
Yes, it is. We ready to dive in?
Yeah. I shall introduce our topic for the day. We're actually going to take a 1 week break from our new creation series for the very simple reason that we felt like doing it. And we wanted to talk about something else. And it's a conversation that Jason and I have had on and off really for years. And I don't think we've necessarily arrived at an answer. And then it kind of kicked up again recently. And we thought, you know, our perspective on the topic, which I'm about to introduce in a minute, is definitely from a ministry perspective. But, you know, you and of course, your husband, Reggie, I think both wrestle with this in your own way in the non-full-time ministry sector. So we really want to have the conversation from both angles, because not everybody listening is in full-time ministry. And so it is so we want to talk about influence and humility. And I'll just try to introduce it real quick and talk about what led up or what has led up to this conversation for us without going into all of the ins and outs of it. But basically, we've kind of wrestled all along with, like, how big should a ministry get? How influential should a teacher be? And there's this constant tension between being called to be a teacher of God's word is by nature a public act. And you need, if you're going to teach, you need people there to listen to you. But then on the other end of the tension is, you know, Jesus saying, don't use power, stay away from influence. Proverbs 27:22, you know, don't praise yourself. Let other lips do that. Don't promote yourself, in other words, those sorts of things. And so what is the line as authors, as teachers, as public people with a public role? What's that line of being humble and patient and letting God build your ministry versus, hey, let's promote and let's get out there and make bigger and bigger, and that's got to be better, right? And so that's kind of the start of the conversation for us.
That's obviously such, like you said, a big deal for my husband and I, because both of our jobs, well, his in the past was more public and mine is very public. And so that is hard, because we feel a calling to be in these spaces where God is less present, we feel like, He's not less present, really, but it seems like, you know, it can feel like, oh, we got to interject, you know, Jesus more here, or right, faith, or, you know, let's corral everyone in this world that can seem very godless at times. But what we recognize is God is really working and moving, and we want to be in those spaces that afford that opportunity.
Right. And before we move on, this is new, your backdrop, Gianna. I've not seen the wall of jerseys, all of Reggie's Pistons and Lakers and Memphis Hustle
USA,
and Team USA and all of these jerseys. That's an impressive new decorating choice there.
I use this background for work when I'm hosting G League shows. Many of these jerseys are G League jerseys. They also have my last name on the back. So that is why
They do.
But as we just got home and we're out of the garage, I tried to slink into our room. That's where this is. And I'll let Reggie take care of Z as I finish out the podcast so I can be a little bit more present for you guys.
So just to be clear, the G League gets the fancy background and we usually get like your refrigerator.
Well, typically I'm doing this show when Reggie's not home. So I'm typically watching Z at the same time. So now that I have my partner here.
Understood.
I can give you guys a little bit more.
Understood.
But this goes hand in hand with what we're talking about. I mean, when you have a Lakers jersey that has your last name on it, I mean, you got to force yourself to be humble.
Yeah. No, would he wear that?
No. Reggie would never wear his own jersey. Why not?
Oh, man. I'd wear that all the time.
No. Well, that's an interesting part of it, right? Like, would you, you know... It's one thing to wear somebody else's jersey, but when you wear your own, then it starts to seem like kind of self-promotional.
Dude, if I played for an NBA team, I would roll around in a full uniform, warm-ups and everything.
You would, Jason. No.
He'd wear the shorts. I'd be like, jersey.
I
used to
play for the Lakers. I don't even think Reggie would wear someone else's jersey at this point. I just think he wouldn't wear a jersey.
I don't. There's one jersey I have. One jersey. Do you want to know who it is?
An old Bucks player.
No, you would think so. It's Hank Gathers.
And why? Why do you feel? Yeah.
You know, he's just sort of locked in for me as like I really looked up to him in college, and I was at a junior college where we ran the same offense as Loyola Marymount, and our coach knew their coach. And so we got a lot of videos from them and like, you know, like inside stuff. And so I never met him, but I really admired him and looked up to him. He was a couple of years older than me. And then of course he died right before going in the NBA. And so I've just always, he just kind of got locked into time for me. And a couple of years ago, my sons bought me a Hank Gathers jersey. And so that's the one jersey I have.
I like that. I like it. So if you guys were in Reggie's position, having to balance, because you guys, you know, obviously are ministers, and so you have that to balance. But if you were a professional athlete, how hard do you think it would be to balance our topic today, to be humble in today's society and really just putting your whole self out there?
Yeah. You know, it's so hard because even... You know, Elijah has asked me about that, you know, playing and wanting to go into the realm of sports. And as you know, and it may surprise people who are not intimately involved in the sporting world, so much of it is networking and connections. And, you know, and he's come to me and he's like, is that bad? Because then it starts to feel like insiders and status and things like that. And so we've had to, you know, talk that through, but I almost feel like it's probably the same, but I maybe I'm looking at it unrealistically because I feel like, man, well, NBA players, all they got to do is just go out and do their thing and they don't have to self-promote. They don't have to, you know, do that sort of thing. And I'm probably wrong on that, but like, you know, with like even this podcast, Jason and I, we've had moments where, you know, you remember a couple of years ago, Jason, someone approached me. Well, we've had a couple of opportunities like this where people have approached us, really kind people, nice people, with large amounts of money, wanting to back our ministry and say, hey, we really believe in what you're doing. We want you to produce stuff. Like take it to the next level, do it professionally, you know, so that you could come in and churches all across the world would be doing this sort of thing. And some connections, like both spiritually and some like even beyond the spiritual realm, like big time producers of material, wanting us to produce. And so Jason and I, you know, we sat down and talked about it and I think in the end, it just couldn't get a grasp on it. It didn't feel right to do that, to go down that road of let's have this much influence and get our ministry bigger and bigger and bigger. And how can that be a bad thing if we're teaching what we think is right? And, you know, and so we can talk about as we go in this episode, like why we have, you know, or I don't want to speak for Jason, but why, you know, I've definitely sort of embraced some standards of limitations where even like there's things I intentionally don't do to make this podcast bigger because I worry about it becoming bigger. You know, is that a good thing? And so I don't have all the answers, but that's what I'm kind of wrestling with. So I want to hear you two talk about.
Jason, I have a question for you. You know, when I'm thinking about influence versus humility, do you see it that way? Is it versus or is it and? Is it both? Because to me, I'm like, can you not have influence and it be righteous or godly? And then humility to me is a given. Like you have to have humility if you're going to follow Jesus. But I feel like you can have influence and humility. I guess my question is it either or? Do they go hand in hand? How do you see it?
Yeah, wow. What a good question. Man, I don't know. I mean, the most influential people in the history of the world were humble. And there's a part of me that believes their humility is what allowed them to have influence. You know, there's professional sports are different. Like I can't imagine starting off with humility would lead to, you know, celebrity. Like you kind of have to put yourself in front of people, which is hard because humility is often not like that. Like, so I think it opens up a whole new way of struggling with being humble because you're inherently, like, influence comes first in a sense, right? Like if you're a professional athlete or you didn't necessarily get that because you're humble. So now you have to learn to be humble with influence. And I think I can't say, cause I don't feel like I'm, you know, I have, you know, I have influence, you know, the people around me and in my life, and they have influence on me, but I don't have, you know, I'm not filling any arenas or even any rooms to hear me speak. So it's not something I really have to think about how to be humble with it. You know, I do have to deal with the desire for that. I mean, I think that sort of cuts in my life, the desire to be influential, it's there in my life and I wrestle with it. It's a miserable feeling to want influence in my experience. To not be content with where you are is a challenge in that sense with those you can influence. And I think the desire to be influential and being humble, boy, I don't know, those feel like opponents to me. I'm sure someone out there could make a case where, like, no, not necessarily. It's at least dangerous. So
I think there's probably a difference too between having influence and seeking influence.
And that's what I'm getting at, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's an important distinction there. And especially in a day and age when everybody wants to be an influencer now, everybody wants to do that. And you can have an incredible amount of reach overnight. You know, you make the right episode or the right reel or whatever it is, boom, you can have a million followers overnight. And I think, Gianna, that's part of the problem is you can gain an amount of influence that you didn't have to work towards. You haven't built up the humility over time to deal with that amount of influence. But I think, and this is, and you know, I'm really open to you guys or any of our listeners pushing back on this, because it's where I wrestle, and it might be just the worst parts of my personality coming in and limiting myself falsely. But I really have more and more over the years embraced an idea, like from the role Jason and I have, of incarnational teaching and influence. And I think of Matthew 7, where Jesus says, you'll know a teacher by their fruits. Well, how can I know the fruits if I don't know that teacher? Anybody can put on an image. And so, and I get there's a weird tension with the fact that we're doing this podcast that anybody can listen to. But at the same time, you know, just like we had people come in and offer money to turn us into a big ministry and, oh, churches all over the world can be doing your material. I don't think I want that. I don't think that's good. I don't think that's incarnational. We've had people offer to do marketing for us and, you know, things like that for the podcast. And it's like, man, you know, we've wrestled with it. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't like, oh, that's a good, you know, yeah, more people listening. How can that be bad? And then I'm like, do I want that? Do I want tens of thousands of people listening that don't really know us? And then, you know, there's a line there of like, we want to be a resource, but not somebody's primary teaching tool, you know, where they're listening to what we say more than their minister or something, you know, like that. I've turned down speaking engagements, not because I couldn't, because of my schedule, but because I've wrestled lately with like, do I want that big of an influence? Do I want to be a, you know, quote unquote Christian celebrity? And I don't think I do. I don't think that's good. But I think sometimes people are like, well, how can that be bad? It's opportunity. Maybe God's opening those doors. And I might be wrong. But for me, it's just like, I don't want power. I don't want that much influence. I've actually tried to limit it. I don't even think my goal is to change anything anymore. It's just to teach and let the Spirit do the work. Like, I don't have this big vision of like, oh, I need to expand, you know, influence so that more people listen. You know, I definitely don't want a ministry that's money based. I've, you know, I've wrestled with that with writing books and, I just think that I'm much more interested these days in incarnational teaching, and I just don't see many people limiting themselves intentionally to try to fall, you know, stay in line with what Jesus wants from us. But I could be wrong, and I'm not applying that to
Michael. Can I pause you real quick? Sorry to interrupt you. Can you explain your definition of incarnational teaching? And what that means.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, incarnational means literally it's like in the meat, in the flesh, you know. And so we often think of the word incarnational with Jesus. He came in the flesh and, you know, suddenly people could see him and interact with him and touch him and know him. And so that's my thing in this digital age. Should I have a ministry that goes way beyond what I can be incarnational with, where I can, you know, and I think, you know, the very fact that we have this podcast says, you know, I'm comfortable at a certain level with being a tool, but I don't want to be somebody's meal. I don't want somebody in, you know, Johannesburg or Tacoma sitting there being like, well, this is, you know, unless it's circumstances where somebody's shut in or that, you know, they can't get out or whatever, but you shouldn't be sitting there going, oh yeah, that's my church. That's my primary biblical teaching. I'm going to take everything they say and live that out and forget the people around me. Cause I'm not sure that's an influence we should have. But then you can easily, if we just let things roll and flow, I mean, I get invited to speak all the time to places all over the place and to expand ministry. And like I said, people are offering money and, you know, so it's why with this podcast, when we come out with a new episode, I put it on my Facebook page and I put it on the Icon Podcast Facebook and Instagram page. We don't advertise. We don't pay for advertising. I don't even go on other church pages. I don't go on our own church pages. I don't go on other ministry pages and link, because I'm like, hey, it's word of mouth. We'll let God grow this ministry. And if it starts getting bigger and bigger from God growing it, then at that time, maybe we have to say, oh man, you know, do we have to reassess here again? Is it getting too big even that way? But that's why I bring that up, because I have people ask me all the time, why don't you guys advertise? Why don't you do more? Why don't you go to conferences and put down business cards with your podcast on it? When I go speak places now, I don't even mention the podcast. I have people come up all the time and say they listen to it.
Right, right.
But I don't promote it.
Yeah, it's in it. There is a balance there, but I think for both you and me, Michael, like, and Gianna, I get this vibe from you too, because obviously you, you know, you're interacting with people that are, you know, they're influential. Like, you're in the media, like professional sports. But you don't come off as like, I work for the NBA, you know, like, I don't feel like you do. Maybe, you know, we all know our own hearts, I guess, but like,
Gianna's very humble.
I agree. I agree with that.
Like, is it humble to say that I'm humble? I don't know. So
I'd like you guys to say it. There he goes. Yep.
That's right. Yep. Just let us say it. Yeah. Yeah.
But there's such a move to be out in front. And I can only speak for ministry, but it is where I see the largest battle. And there's such a temptation for ministers and people who read and learn things to get their info out there, to hawk their wares. You know, the dude who is a preacher and their default picture on their Facebook or social media is a picture of them at a podium preaching. You know, for me, I'm not judging that dude's heart, but I'm like, ick. You know, like, I don't want to be that image. I don't want to be the one always selling or trying to be out front, mostly because I know where that leads. And you can spot it from my perspective without, you know, I try not to be judgmental, but you can tell when people just want to be in the mix. They want people to hire them. They want people to listen to their stuff. They want to make a living. They want to be out there. And I think that's dangerous. But there's a culture even within the church that reinforces that. No one listens to somebody who's not speaking to lots of people. And so you have to, as a minister, make peace with what is, I think, the point of ministry, what Michael's describing. And when you use the word incarnational, what I'm hearing you say is local. It's those around you, those you can get your hands on and spend time with and have coffee with and share meals with and walk alongside. Ministry like that is largely anonymous to the wider world. It's local. Think of the conferences that Christians have or churches have. They're not inviting that dude to come and do the keynote. They're going to invite the dude that leads mass amounts of people or speaks to many. So there's pressure then on ministers or any kind of teacher, or like I said, people who just read, to make themselves out there so they have this following, so they can be involved, so they can get more eyes on them, so that people will download their YouTube videos. And I see the temptation all over the place. And the stakes become steeper and steeper as you go down that path. It's like, well, now I got to have this. And I see obsession among ministers right now. And I'm about 15 years ahead of this game. But I felt this a while ago with degrees and study and being formally trained. And so there's this pressure to put yourself out there with, you know, your email address as a minister has all of the letters of the places you've studied and the things you do and the things you're connected to. And all of that, again, without making a judgment about the individual's heart, I can at least say for me, I know in my own heart, my desire to be known. And I'm ashamed of that in a sense, but in a good way, like, I don't want to be like that, but I'm in good company. Because even the disciples following Jesus had this same temptation. And you see Jesus and their lives would not allow them to go down that route of a desire for being quote unquote influential. Think of Paul where it says, God gave me a thorn in my flesh. It's like God is always working to keep us from this propensity to grandiosity. But the culture, even in churches, is to push us to get ourselves out there more. And so the challenge, I think, is to watch our desires. You know, like I think, you know, God reads the heart. And of course, you can make stupid moves too. But I think the thing that matters with this is the heart, our desires. Like when I know I want people to think I'm awesome. I know that. And so sometimes I overreact, and I have people in my life that help me from being unnecessarily humble or falsely humble, where it's like, I won't, you know, it's a kind of, oh boy, there you go. Michael's not ashamed of that.
Shaka's back on my lap.
Must be a storm.
There's not. I don't even know what the deal is today.
He loves you because you're humble. but I think there is, I think it's allowing the Lord when we run into these places, like if we don't have X, Y, or Z, what other people have, I don't think that the impulse should be, I'm going to go get that. I think it's learning to be incarnation, learning to be satisfied, because this is the last thing I'll say for now, but like the work itself is a joy. And this is what inspires me about, like, you know, so I'm kind of an all or nothing dude. Like basketball was a big part of my life for, you know, until I realized there's no way I'm going to go anywhere with basketball. And then I kind of dropped it. I did the same thing with all different things. It's like, well, if I can't be the best, I'm not going to do it, you know? And I'm always inspired when I meet people in basketball or in music, or especially ministers who view the work itself as the reward. There's not this impulse like, I got to get bigger, I got to get better, I got to make this greater and push it farther. Like they just love the game. They just love the music. They just love the work of getting with people. And I think that's the challenge, is to have that heart. But you're simultaneously making peace with living largely anonymous if you do that. And God loves that, but we don't. And so I think it's tempting to be like, well, God wants us to have influence, right? He wants us to have an impact, right? So it's like the dude who says, I'm going to get rich so I can give more. God wants us to give, right? So I'm going to make a lot of money. It's like, yeah, you could do that, but you got to realize that's really dangerous. So anyways, end of the sermon.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to preach at that, but it is a real struggle in my life.
Sure. Yeah. So I'll just say one thing, and then I want to hear from you, Gianna, but a couple things, but I'll be brief.
10 minutes later.
Right. That could be the case. But yeah, you know, Jason mentioned something that's interesting. That does happen a lot now when I meet people, or I haven't seen somebody for a while, like in ministry context. Now, one of the first questions I'm often asked is like, oh, what degrees do you have? I don't care. That's not why I do degrees. And I'm not judging people, like Jason said. I'm not judging people that, you know, are proud of their degrees or share them. I don't really tend to put it out there. I don't use the titles and the prefixes and those things, because that's not why I did those things. But there is that subtle call, and I'm not saying it's all wrong or bad. I think some of it is you have to figure out for you what's right, you know, and what's necessary. And I do think ministry is, you know, specifically the role of full-time ministry is very different than, say, an NBA announcer.
Big time. Two different animals.
Yeah, they're different, but we often approach them with the same mindset, you know? Like, is it bad, Gianna, for you to be like, hey, I'm going to be on NBA TV tonight. Watch me, you know, check it out. Like, no, that's your career. And I think God gives you those opportunities and you use them to glorify God. And that's, you know, now could you get lost in that? Of course you could. Of course you could. And I'm sure, you know, you'll share your own struggles, but with ministry, I do worry that there is, that we're supposed to limit ourselves and we often don't. And so I will see someone who is just a good-hearted person, very charismatic, very good at ministry. They'll come in and they'll just kind of take over the room with their influence and their charisma and all of that. And, you know, anytime they do, they tend to get their way. They have a lot of influence. They've built up and they've done a lot of great things. And what I don't see as often is that person looking and going, maybe I should self-police here and limit my own influence instead of waiting for God to do it or other people to do it, to say, no, maybe what God wants is for me to limit my influence, to take a step back. And I've always said, like, if we're in a small group, you know, like our family group, and we're having a Bible discussion, I will not tend to answer any Bible questions, because I know if I do, it shuts down discussion. Now everybody thinks, oh, Michael's spoken, what can I say now? So I have to intentionally limit myself so that other people can step up, you know? And so for me, where I've come with this, like on my teaching ministry, is I have kind of four values I'm wrestling with. One is to always put people over content. It's about, you know, making connection with people and not like getting my stuff out there, or you got to hear this because this will. And we, you know, I could play games with that and go, well, it would help people if they heard my stuff. It's like, well, maybe, but I don't think that's how Jesus did ministry. Jesus was incarnationally limited himself to the people he could physically come in contact with. The second one is formation over efficiency. It's a lot harder to have a small group of people that you're helping to form. It's not efficient. You know, having a huge podcast influence where you have thousands and thousands of people, and I can report every month how we have more and more people listening, you know, that'd be super efficient, but is it best? Number three is individual touch over scope and reach. And these are all kind of similar ways of saying the same thing. And I think the last one we've talked a little bit, maybe we have or haven't on the podcast, I don't know, but is, you know, striving for fruit rather than outcomes. You know, like are we creating conditions where we're incarnational, a small amount of people can benefit, grow from, or are we just trying to get bigger and bigger? And, you know, bigger numbers, more marketing, let's get it out there. Let's put it here. We want more people to read, more people to listen. And I actually think the early church would call that impatience when we do those things. I think they would say, no, patience is just doing what God's called you to do and letting God decide when your role expands. And Jason, you talked about wanting influence. And I remember being a young teacher and feeling like, man, I want more influence. And I look back now and I'm like, good night. If I'd have had it then, oh my goodness, that would be bad. That would be terrible. And so just a couple final quick thoughts. I've decided for myself, and I think, you know, Jason and Gian and I, we've talked about this, and this is probably where we land with this podcast, but definitely my teaching ministry is I want to be the tool rather than the meal. You know, just be an extra source of resource. I actually like more being a resource for people who can then go teach and be incarnational. That's really what I want to do, is just provide that resource for them, not be the meal, not be like, oh, this is where people are really getting fed. I don't want to be money-based, and we've definitely wrestled with that. Jason and I have talked about, and we have two Gianna, like, wouldn't it be cool if we could sort of make our living from doing this podcast? And maybe God will somehow work that one day, but I think it's a problem if that's what I strive for. If I'm making, and I understand that, that's why I always say, I don't believe in full-time ministry for a church. I don't believe I get a salary. I believe I am supported by the church body, the local church body, to do things that they feel like God has gifted me to do for the church and ministry. But that's different than having a ministry where I now have to make money. I'm not judging other people who do that. They might be called by God to do that. I don't think I am. Teaching, I think, should be rooted in a local church, your main sort of teaching. That's another one. I don't ever want to like become program. I see a lot of that now, where everybody's, you know, especially in some of the circles I run, everybody's on programs. Let's get this program, and they're creating programs. And that kind of failed in evangelical churches 20 years ago because they tend to not be incarnational. I don't want to get caught up in the status culture of academia and reach and all that stuff and self-promotion. So that's... And again, and the last thing I'll say is the danger there then is to now get on my high horse and be like, but, you know, we're better than all those other folks who are making a living off this or creating programs or doing self-promotion. Not judging any of that. I'm not looking in other people's bowl. This is just what's right for us and where we've come at and why we do what we do. But Gianna, what do you say about all this?
Well, I would say that you and Jason remind me a lot of my husband. And I say that because...
With our athletic prowess, I assume that's the first thing that comes to mind. No.
But I would say... Our jump shots. You guys, to me, are men that I look to that have a voice that I would want other people to hear from. I think that about my husband. And I think back to an example during COVID times where we were just sitting around and Reggie had a lot of time on his hands. And I was like, hey, there's a lot of people that like to hear you. You seem to be impactful when you speak, when you get the opportunity to have a sermon in church or whatever it is. Why don't you put out these little 1 minute or whatever it is, like Reggie's thoughts on scripture or something like that? Because a lot of people around you are drawn to you in the industry, but you know, whether they've moved away, we're at different teams, like it's not as accessible. And just the nature of athletes is kind of hard to reach. So we know a lot of them are following your stories. So why don't we start there? But Reggie struggled deeply with the influence portion. And it was to the point where it bothered me so much. And I'm like, you don't have to be this humble. But so I guess that's as I'm listening to you guys, I'm just like, okay. And I think I've balanced out a little bit. I think that he and I need to grow spiritually, have more experiences, and gain more wisdom. And I think that takes a lot of time. And with the influence of our positions, I don't want that type of role too soon. A lot of people have asked, why don't I do like podcasts individually? Or, you know, I would love to host a show someday. That is kind of like my talent. I would like to do that. But I feel like, you know, one of my biggest influences is BJ Foster here in Reno. And I'm not going to share her age, but she's taken a very long time and has worked with God for a long time before she let her voice come out to the world. And even now, she's been asked me on some really big speaking tours with some pretty influential women in the faith, if you want to say that. And she turned them down. And I'm like, what? Why? And she was like, I felt God was saying like, it's just not right now. Like, this is not the way or whatever. And I'm just like, what? It's baffling to me, you know? And she was on major Broadway shows. You know, she could have played alongside some of the biggest actors and she's turned those things down for her faith. And so I'm like, okay, that's the type of woman of faith that I want to strive to be like. Someone that's really in tune to what is God's will, what is his ways, you know, instead of just the influence portion of it. So I would say, I don't want to say you guys are better than me or Reggie's better than me, but I tend to lean the other way of what you're saying, Michael. Like, I want people to know these things. And I feel like, oh, if they did have access, they could be hearing a different voice that might lead them down a better way. You know, I think maybe I'm just positive in that way, which I'm I'm typically a glass half empty person, but when it comes to this, I'm like, no, they, my friends need to hear you guys. They need to hear you, because where else are they going to hear these things, I guess, is what I'm thinking. And that limits God, that he's not placing people locally around them or whatever. So I think.
And see, that's just it. Let me jump in just for a second. I think that's such a good point, because that's where I think the trust in God comes in. You know, like, you hear a podcast and go, oh, let me share this with my friend. And then they share it with somebody. And those are exactly the people that need to listen to it. And I think that's fine. If it grows that way, that's kind of God growing it. But on the other hand, to be like, well, what we need to do is hire somebody that's going to do social media and marketing. And, you know, look, when we got a marketing person, our audience grew by 1,000 people every week. How can that be bad? But now, see, that's outcomes. That's when we can control things versus, you know, you let the fruit, you let God do it. You have patience, and maybe it grows, maybe it doesn't, but I trust that God knows the size of influence that I need and the people that it needs to get to.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. And as I'm getting older and learning more things, I think that's where I'm starting to lean, but it's taking me some time. And probably because I've grown up in this age of social media and putting your life out there and outcomes. And actually, when I came to God in 2017, my whole identity was rooted in my career, being a journalist, being on camera, people knowing that I was on camera, people recognizing me, that I was an anchor, this and that. And then I had my knee surgery and had to stop working for 6 months. And at that point, nobody, like, you're forgotten very quickly. And so when I did start following Jesus and Reggie and I got married, I took 2 years off and I really told God, like, you know, this is what I'm really focused on now. These are my desires. If that means staying within journalism, sure. But if it doesn't, then I don't want to do it. And that's how for me, not that I say I tested God, but I feel like I gave enough time for God to either completely take this out, because I didn't push for any jobs. I wasn't like super seeking. And now my career has grown more than when I did earlier, and I was pushing very hard. So for me, that's just my little sign of confirmation that for now, God has me in this space. And as you're talking about local, I've always been really drawn to reaching out to my coworkers and sharing my life with them. And that has done a lot for me. You know, I've seen a lot of growth in my coworkers that weren't even seeking God. So for me, that's a win. Getting 10,000 followers on Instagram, I don't care. You know, I still feel like this little bird in my ear. Like, I'm applying for some jobs, or I'm in the running for some jobs right now that are bigger. And I'm like, oh, they're going to go to my Instagram and see I don't have this many followers. Like, I'm so little compared to these people that they could get. And I'm like, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So I have to like recalibrate.
Yeah. But you have a handle on it because you were able to differentiate yourself from it. And I think that's the real tragedy of the desire for success and influence and to be seen, is that it blurs our identity. You use that word identity, like, how we understand ourselves gets really messed up. And that's especially dangerous again in my life, because I'm a minister. And if I'm operating from a broken identity, it's not good. It's not good for those I intend to help and shepherd and, you know, teach. And so it's learning that, yeah, our jobs are not us. It's not who we are. Like, there's a deeper understanding of ourselves beyond what others see from us. And I think, like, for me, some of that is, like, you know, embracing the dark side of Jason. Like, there are parts of me that are just not awesome. They're not great. They're broken. They're there's a lot of failures in my life. And I can't, like, becoming a Christian is not a reset button and all of that just goes away or gets fixed or instantly is redeemed into good things. Like, that's part of the thing that makes up who Jason is. And I think keeping that in view, embracing that, not definitely not celebrating it, but embracing it, allows you to see yourself as not anything beyond one loved by God. And that's enough. And I think of, like, in the end of John's gospel, when Jesus quote unquote restores Peter, that's one of my favorite passages in the New Testament, because, you know, there's this denial in chapter 18 of Jesus. You know, Peter at the charcoal fire denies Jesus. And then a couple chapters later, after Jesus rose from the dead, he's back at this charcoal fire. And just like Peter denies him three times, he's asking him three times about whether or not he's... But my point is, like, Jesus is leading Peter back through his failures. The place where Peter thought he was so strong, Jesus does not say, forget about that. You're awesome. Let's just move forward. He brings him back to that moment so that Peter can see himself as a failure. And I think of it like this. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with orienteering, if you've ever done that, where, like, you go in the woods, you pay somebody to take you into the woods and get lost, and then they give you, like,
no.
You gotta find your way out.
That's not happening. It's terrible. It's about race, but
you pay. You do. I've done it. Like,
I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah. Well, there's a source.
That's how you have Sasquatch sightings, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not like you're going into super remote places, but. But, like, Gianna, you know,
are you saying that's all illegal stuff?
You know, we watch movies as African Americans. We're like, we would never do that. You know why? Because you die.
Right.
Yeah. Well, no one should.
No. I would actually.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't go deep. We're, like, in a city. So, but the point is, like, using your skills to get out. And one of the things you do, you know, when you're lost, is you triangulate. You try to find yourself where you are in the forest. And you do this by locating two high objects off in the distance, apart from one another. And you draw a straight line from each of those objects back to where you are. And you find yourself. It's more complicated than that, but it's something you can do if you're lost. And the idea is, I think this helps me because on the one hand, like, if you have these two points that you triangulate with to understand where you are, or in this case, who you are, you have on the one hand all of your failures, and you draw a line from your failures to where you are, and that's you. And then you have the other object is the love of God, the mercy and forgiveness of God. And you draw a line from that, and that's who you are. Like, that's, and it's always keeping those two things in view, that, like, I'm a loved and forgiven person by God, but I'm also a failure. And here's the thing. If Peter didn't have that understanding of his own failures, he couldn't, from a humble heart, become who he was to be. Because one thing people who understand they're broken and loved can't do is be arrogant. It makes it a lot, you're more capable of telling someone where they're wrong without being judgmental, without being, like, grandiose or thinking you're better than everyone else. And I see in my life, God's trajectory in my life is to bring me to that place of where I see myself as not awesome, but loved by God, you know, like, and that helps me understand who I am. And I think there's a narrative out there that's like, no, like, you're not a failure anymore. Like, let all that go. God forgets all the past. It's like, he doesn't. He wants us to remember what he brings us through, that we might humbly serve him. And I think that's an unpopular story, but it's hard to do that and simultaneously seek a lot of influence and to be out there, because it's difficult for us to let people sense that we understand that we're no better than anyone else. So I see there's, like, a competition between the kind of influence God wants us to have and the kind of influence that society tells us we should have, and I think it's a again, I feel like this is a more of a tight spot for ministers than it might be, say, what you're doing. I feel like there's more, I don't know, maybe there's not, but it feels like there's a lot of booby traps along the way.
Yeah. And I appreciate, you know, like you giving that example of BJ Foster, who limits herself intentionally. And I think that's really wise. And I'm sorry.
You know, I didn't say, but she's a wise, wise woman. So
I thought maybe I could get that out of you just so I could post that clip somewhere and make you a new enemy. But no, I think there's wisdom to that. And, you know, that's kind of where I've come down on is, you know, I don't want to be the biggest voice on any given issue. I don't want to have like all this influence. I'm going to limit, you know, I've never created a website and asked for people to, you know, sign me up as a conference speaker or as a speaker. And in fact, it's funny, I've never promoted being a speaker at churches. And every time I think, okay, I'll do this next round that I have, and then I'm sure that will dry up and God will take that away. And then more churches will ask. And I'm like, oh, geez. And I kind of get sick to my stomach. Like, I don't even want to do that. I will, because I feel like, okay, I feel like this is God doing it to a degree, because I'm not putting it out there anywhere. I'm not advertising. I'm not asking to have a voice. And I'm sure there's a pretty healthy group of people that are like, yeah, we also wish you wouldn't have a voice. We'd like to sign up for that petition. But I don't know. I would encourage.
Yeah. Like, we'd like to invite you to not speak right at our conference.
Right. No, I get it. I'm always surprised by that. That's a whole nother conversation. That's the part of me that's like, why would anybody? I've talked about that before. Every time a church asks me to speak somewhere, I have this whole dialogue in my head, like, well, they're just being nice. Like, nobody really wants me to speak, but that's a whole nother conversation. But I think where I've come down is just let God do it, not promote in any way, even if I think it's a good thing. Well, God's called me to this ministry. He has, but that doesn't mean he's called me to like push and make it as big as I can and have an influence beyond what I should. And if it does get to a certain size, like with my speaking ministry, you know, being invited to churches, it got to a point where I was like, I'm not promoting this, but I think I still need to step back from some of it. I think it's going too much. But I totally get what you're saying, Gianna, like with Reggie, because I'm not sitting here either saying, well, it's a bad thing to want to get your voice out there. And what if you are called to do that? And you know, I do feel called to teach. So, because somebody would say, well, then why don't you just shut up and shut the podcast down and stop writing things? And it's like, well, I do feel called to do that. And, you know, I do feel called to teach in some aspects, but I think it's finding ways that are keeping in line with new creation dynamics and keeping in line with the character of Jesus. Because what I don't see is, you know, there were some times where some big crowds came and found Jesus, but I don't see any self-promotion going on there. I don't see him going to, you know, Rome and, you know,
no, the opposite up, actually yeah, of that.
I mean, the Colosseum wasn't built when Jesus was, I was going to say fill up the Colosseum. It wasn't built yet, but you know, yeah, Jesus. And you're right, Jason, when Jesus did get big crowds, he would like throw out his craziest, most challenging teaching and try to drive them away. Dude,
Jesus would regularly say things like, I don't care what people think of me. I don't accept praise from people. Like, I don't care what you guys think. God tells you who God's my marketing department. You know, like God shows you who I am. I don't need your testimony. And I'm not going to be your king. I'm not going to be in the limelight, but that's the whole, you know, that's the whole vibe of this thing called the message of the cross is to, you know, Paul too, Paul ended up being super influential, but every opportunity he had, he stepped off of that. The Greco-Roman move to reputation. I can't think of it.
You know, I'm not going to help here, right?
it doesn't matter. Sorry, but it's on the tip of my tongue. I just saw a book came out like this week on the topic. But my point is like, culturally, mm-hmm. he was doing the opposite of what he was supposed to do. On analogy, Paul was defriending people when he should have been trying to get more friends, right? Like Paul was like canceling subscriptions to his Patreon support rather than getting more. And he was doing that intentionally to show like there is a different way of living. You don't need to be in everyone's face for God to use you.
I think that goes back to the brokenness you talked about. Like Paul was probably someone who really understood brokenness. I mean, he was blind and then saw. So
I think so. Different. Yeah. Right. When Paul mm-hmm, says, mm-hmm. I'm the chief of sinners, you know, or whatever, I'm the worst. His point is like, if God would do this with me, there's no limit to what he could do. And he had that well into his old age of being an apostle. He carried with him those a recognition that he's no one to he's not God. He's not like one you just follow around. He says things like, I don't baptize people. Like, I don't want that. I don't want that on my conscience. Like y'all following me. But in our society today, like that's the opposite. It's like, well, I baptize him and I baptize him. And, you know, it's like, we want the exact opposite and that's our culture. We're up against that. So I think God gives us, I know for me, God has given me obstacles or thorns in the flesh, maybe. I don't want to be that dramatic, but there are things in my life which hinder me from going down a path like that. And I love if you find yourself and you don't have those obstacles and you just have this open path to success and notoriety, that you do the self-policing, as Mike said. I don't know if that's the best term, but because it's not just a matter of avoiding things. It's a matter of opting for the good. Like your friend saying no to certain conferences. It's like you have to be aware of where those things go. And it pains me when I see people going headlong down the path of trying to be successful, not recognizing it's not what God wants.
Yeah. And not to amp her up anymore because she doesn't need it. But it was because there was things locally happening here that she felt like she was needed for, as to why she didn't go fly. And so exactly. So I'm like, that goes to
point. But she prioritized.
Are we just going to call this the BJ Foster?
We
got to
have her on
now?
Sometime.
Yeah. I want to meet her boy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
Anytime you want.
But I love this. Bring great conversation on it. I think it's still something I will wrestle with and have to deal with. Yeah. Obviously, our professions are very different, but you know, they want us to be in people's faces. You know, you want to post. You have to be relevant to keep a job in my space. So that's always going to be something for me that I have to balance out. But I think when it comes to representing God, I see it as different spaces. I don't know how to explain that to you guys, but
totally. No, totally.
Everyone has, and even in the church, and I want to be just go on record as saying, not every minister needs to be unknown. I'm speaking for myself. There are some who definitely need to be known and are care for large numbers of people. And
but it's not
I know
for
people
everyone,
who do that and they do it really well.
Is what you're saying.
They do it humbly. So it's not like it, and that's the thing. It's the desire. It's the need inside of us to be known like that. That's the problem. It's not the thing itself. Because we just talked about Paul, right? No one's more influential than Paul. You can do that well. It's not a sin.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. And I think like the challenge for me, it's funny because it's two different challenges. On a personal level, I don't want any of that. I don't want to be up front. I don't want to be known. I don't want to be the center of attention. I don't want to be praised. I kind of want to be alone in a corner with my little life.
That sounds good.
Like, yeah. let me just be me.
Let me die.
So let me die. a isolated death. But no, so when like, so for me, to be called to teach, even just the act of like every time I get up in front of people and teach, there's a dying of self for me that takes place because I don't like to do it. I may have said this on here before, but if you know me closely, anytime I speak in public, when I go down afterwards, I usually have a hard time opening like the water bottle to drink because I'm shaking. I'm not nervous beforehand, but afterwards I just get hit with all of this like regret and emotion and like, oh, I screwed that up.
Totally.
And why did I do this again?
And it's like a hangover.
Yeah. And I don't want to travel. When people ask me to go places, I'm like nauseous the day before because I'm like, why do I? And, you know, now I'm going to be in front of people. There's all that. But then for like something like the podcast or the ministry or when I write a book, then there's always that, you know, I mean, I've gotten out and out rebuked before. Like, dude, you got to promote your stuff. It's really good. You got to go on book tours. You guys got to get your podcast out there. People come up like, why don't you do more advertising? And that's kind of where this other side of the wrestle is like, well, should we? And this is just where I'm at right now. Who knows? Maybe 2 years from now, we'll come on and go, hey, we're going global and we're going to have all this stuff and we feel like God's called us to it. I don't think so. So I'm not saying it's automatically wrong, but I do think there's a lot of ministries and teachers and people that would maybe benefit from thinking through some of this. And I'm not presuming that they haven't. Maybe they have, and this is they're doing what God's called them to do. But I think limiting influence, power, and scope are really important spiritual disciplines that often get neglected because it's so easy, like you said, Gianna, to just be like, well, how can it be a bad thing? More people should be able to hear you. So that's
good stuff. I don't think we ended the conversation, but I feel like we've gotten to a good point. I mean, there's going to be so much more to talk about as we continue to journey on. So I think it was a great conversation, guys. Jason, any last words?
Word up. No, goodness gracious.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in and listening to this kind of special edition of the Icon Podcast. I think we're going to get back to new creation next episode.
Yes. You know, it would have been fun to do this as like a live episode. I've always kind of avoided that. But it would have been fun to actually have.
How do you do a live episode?
I don't know. There's a really kind brother who has offered if we ever want to do that. And this was a couple years ago.
We could do a Facebook live. There's but, several.
Yeah, like yeah. you stream live from it live. Homes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right.
And
oh,
it'd be kind of fun to be able to actually have people ask questions and respond and be part of the conversation as we go.
That would expand our influence.
There you go. I've kind of avoided that partly because I just couldn't conceive of any of our.
Oh, that sounds topics. Fun. I forgot about
this topic. Would have been kind of cool to do that with. So maybe next time.
Well, thank you again, everyone. We appreciate it, and we'll catch you next time on the Icon Podcast.
All right.